To be in Ephesians chapter 4 this afternoon. So if you'd like to go ahead and get your Bibles out, that's where I'm going to take my scripture from. Again, it's Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And it says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." You know, today we're going to take Ephesians chapter 4 and we're going to look at these verses that I just read, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to look at what God calls us to be in terms of being united. Could you imagine the work that the church would do today if the church was actually united? You know, we do see great things happening each and every day throughout this great land, throughout this great world. We see God doing amazing things. But you still, even though we see God doing amazing things in our society today, around the world and throughout the country, you still see a demise of Christianity. Why do you see the demise of Christianity? It's because of the fact that so many people look at Christians and they consider them to be hypocrites. They consider us to be hypocritical. Here we live one specific way at church on Sunday and Wednesday, and then we live an entirely different lifestyle throughout the week. But you know, we as Christians, it's important that we take a stand for what we truly believe in. It's time that we take a stand and that we become united so that we can go out and so that we can go out into the world and to do what God has called us to do. And the only way that we can go out into the world and we can do what God has called us to do is by taking God's Word and taking that out and showing the love of God to people. You know, we need to be a church that stands united in all that we do. We need to be a church that is united in a mission. We need to be a church that isn't competing against other people, that's not competing against other churches. We need to be God's church because that's what God has called us to be. One church. We are the bride of Christ. So why do you see what you see today? Why do you see so many churches dividing? Why do you see so many churches united? Ununited. Well, in my small groups class this morning, as I was reading God's Word, we were studying the Great Commission in Matthew. And, you know, in order to fulfill God's calling, in order to do what God calls us to do, we have to be willing to submit to Him. We have to be willing to allow God to be the power, to be the authority. Because we are the bride of Christ. He is the power. He is the authority. We have to look to Him for the power. We have to look to Him for the authority. We have to look to Him to be united. When you look at a football team, and I'll give you a perfect example. I was in Neyland Stadium Thursday night as a football team for three quarters absolutely played in different directions. The Tennessee football team was not united in their mission for three quarters. They were going every which opposite direction. But in the fourth quarter, they made a decision that they were going to stand together and that they were going to unite together and that they were going to try to win the game together. And ultimately, you saw that happen Thursday night in overtime. It takes many components for a football team to win a football game. It takes many components for the human body to function correctly. In order for us to live, God created various parts of our bodies that have to be functioning at all times. And all these parts of our bodies have to be functioning continuously together. That's something the church lacks today. The church is not functioning together. I was informed in my Sunday school class this morning that a church that I used to be a member of, they had a sign up this morning, "Please pray for our church." This is a church that struggled with the concept of power for many, many, many years. And they struggle with power because they're not looking to God for power. They're looking to man for power. There are specific families that are wanting to rule churches instead of allowing God to do what's necessary. If you allow man to rule the church will never, never be able to live. When you allow God to rule the church will thrive. You know, as I was standing here Wednesday night, I want to thank Brother Garrett. He did an absolutely fantastic and amazing job Wednesday night. He gave an analogy Wednesday night that really just... Whenever he first said it, I thought, okay, you jerk. But I got to thinking about it and I thought, it's true. Here at Grace Community Church, we are an island of misfit toys. It's a great analogy. But it's good to be on the island of misfit toys, because what are we doing? We're doing what God's called us to do. We're going out and we are actually trying to fulfill the Great Commission. We are thriving as a church because we look to God for guidance. We look to God for the leadership. So the first point that I want to make, and how do we become unified? The first point that I want to make today is, we are a chosen people. We are Christ's representatives. You know, there's so many churches nowadays. When you walk into the church doors, they make you look as though you're absolutely nothing. They want you to dress a certain style. They want you to talk a certain way. They want you to live a certain lifestyle. But it's important that we as the children of God, it's important that we realize and that we go out into the churches today, that we go out into the society today, and that we proclaim the message that we are God's chosen people. God created me in His image. He created you in His image. There's nothing inferior to that. God loves you in a perfect way. God loves you, David. We make mistakes. God loves me. He loves each and every one of us as His own special child. Don't let anybody change that. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not chosen. Because the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are chosen by God. And you have Jesus living in your heart. And you have the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you in every single way. Whether or not you allow Him to continue to do what's necessary in your life through you by calling you to do certain things, that's your decision. But we are a chosen people. And nobody can take the love of Christ away from me, because God poured His love out on me through the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that can change that. Amen. Once saved, I'm always saved. Once I have the grace of God, I've always got the grace of God. Man might not forgive me for something, but God has forgiven me for everything that I've done in my life. We are a chosen people, folks. Let's act like we're a chosen people. Let's stand united. Why was the United States of America so successful for so long? It's because there were these people called the Founding Fathers that united together on a mission and said that they were going to separate from England. That they were going to create 13 colonies that were completely separate from England. And what did they do? They stood united together until that was achieved. Not only did they stand united in what they did, they looked to God for leadance. They looked to God for leadership. They looked to God for guidance. God God is capable of doing those exact same things that He did through the founding fathers through us today. If you look at Jesus feeding the 5,000, that was a miracle in and of itself. But look at what He's able to do, and He's able to do those exact same things today. We are a chosen people, folks. Don't let God tell you different. Don't let anybody tell you differently. So since we are a chosen people, there's a few things that God calls us to do. Number one, if people cannot see Christ through our lives, how are they going to see Christ? Since we are a chosen people, God calls each and every one of us to live a specific way. He calls us to thrive and to strive to live as Jesus lived when Jesus walked and taught upon the earth. We've got to take that beyond the doors of Sunday morning. We've got to take that beyond the days of Wednesday when we're at church. We've got to go out into the world on Monday morning and let God be seen. We've got to go out and let Him be seen on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not just in the church doors, because you know what? A lot of people that come into the doors of the church, they know God. They know Christ. But a lot of the people that we encounter out in the world every day don't know God. They've never heard of God. They've never seen God's love. And I'm going to tell you something. The world's not going to show God's love. The world's going to show evilness. The world's going to show Satan. That's what the world thrives on. But it's important that we as God's children, we as God's chosen people, stand together and allow God to be seen through us. I was standing before my small groups this class this morning. We were having discussion about the Great Commission. Somebody asked me a question. I don't remember exactly what the question was, but I looked at him and I said, you know what? My love is helping others. My love is serving others. You know, that's what God calls us to do. That should be the love of each and every one of us as His children, is to help others, to help the lost, to love the lost, to love the addicted, to love those that have done infidelity, to love through sin. That's what God calls us to do. Yes, God hates sin, and God sent His Son to die for sin. But we still have sin because that's our human nature. But we've got to be willing to help people through sin. We can't shut them out. We can't say goodbye and never open the door again. God calls us. He chose to use us. Are you going to let Him use you? So God, the world sees Christ through our lives. And it's important that we live, or we strive to live the way that Christ lived. So how do we live like Christ? Number one, humbleness. This is a concept that a lot of people struggle with. I stand up here and preach. I counsel. I teach a small groups class. I'm an elder. I do these things out of service for God. I do it out of my love for God. I do it expecting nothing in return, because you know what? God's given me everything that I can ever deserve. I don't deserve what God's given me. But God loved me so much, even though He looked at my life. And even though I make mistakes in my life, and even though I surround myself a lot of times with sin, and I dig myself in a hole that I can't get out of, God still reaches His hand out for me and wants to grab it. And He does the same for you. We've got to be willing to be humble. In our service for God, it should be about serving others. It should be about our love for God. It shouldn't be wanting things in return. We've got to be humble. I was watching the TV show this week, Andy Griffith's show. It's one of the best shows they ever put on TV. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to go to my grandfather's house, and I just remember Andy Griffith coming on the TV every time I was in that house. And The plot of the story was somebody. There was a person, a famous figure called Nathan Tibbs that had came into the town of Mayberry, and he had actually helped do something with a bridge. He was famous, and these ladies from this historical society had actually came to town because they had determined that there was a relative of this person living in the town. And so they were doing the research throughout the town, and as they were doing the research, of course, Barney Fife figured out it was himself. He was the relative of the famous person. And so, as he figured out that he was the person, he created this big, long speech. They wanted to make him look humble. So he practiced his speech on others there in the sheriff's office. And he came to find out, of course, he wasn't the person that was the relative of the person. But I bring this example to you because that's not the example of humbleness that God calls us to be. God calls us to do things out of love. You know, when I look at God's love, I see unconditional love. It's not based upon conditions. We make mistakes and He loves us through it. So, you know, the first point that I wanted to make, how do we live like Christ? We've got to be humble. Number two, this is what I struggle with the most, being patient. God's callings, He does it in His time. He answers our prayers in His time. He does what's necessary in His time. You know, as we made preparations to build this building out back for our children's facility, I've been praying, God, give us the money to get this up. Give us the money to get this completed. Just do what's necessary so we can get this up and get our kids in it. And every time I pray that prayer, I can feel God say, I'll do it. I'll do it in my timing. So here we are. We've got to be patient. We've got to allow God to do it in His timing. He's going to provide the funds for that. He provided the funds for this 5 acres next door in 3 months. And a lot of us as the congregation here at Grace Community Church didn't see that as being possible. But all things are possible through God, aren't they?
Yes.
We just got to be patient. We got to be patient. If you ask Tanya, she'll tell you, I'm far from being patient. I want things done in my own timing. I want things done then and there. Yesterday, or actually Friday night, I'd been out to get us dinner, and I came home, and I sat there in my truck in the driveway, and I looked at myself. I said, okay, my truck's dirty, my car's dirty. My wife's car's dirty. I'm in trouble now. I said, my house is dirty. My yard looks awful. And I woke up yesterday and I told myself, I'm on a mission to get things done. My wife looked at me yesterday about 4 o'clock and said, what is wrong with you? You have not stopped all day. I said, I woke up on a mission. I want to get this stuff done. We're heading out on vacation this week, and I want to get it all done. So, I still have all this stuff done, and I keep telling myself, okay, God, I'm only one person. She's only one person. I guess I'm just going to have to be patient and get to it as I can. Our service with God's the same thing. Our calling with God, same thing. In order for us to fulfill God's calling in our lives, sometimes God has to work on you 5 or 6 years to do what's necessary. Sometimes it might take 10 years. I was called to preach in 2007. And I prayed and I prayed and prayed that God would give me a church to where I could preach in. And I was impatient. I was very impatient. But I look back upon that now. And I realized that God had to mold me. He's having to make me. He's having to change me. And I've just got to be patient. I've got to be patient and allow God to do what's necessary in my life to change me. So we got to be humble. We got to be patient. And how else do we live like Christ? Number three, we've got to show understanding. You know, being in the leadership of this church has changed my life in many ways. I've seen a lot of people that need help that I wouldn't have helped in the past. And you say, Dennis, that's mean. It's sin. And I'm allowing God to change me. We've got to be understanding of people's circumstances. We've got to be understanding that a person that's suffered with alcoholism for 20 years of their life, they're not going to be able to put down the bottle in one day. A person that's suffered with drug addiction for 20 years of their life, they're not going to be able to put down the drugs in one day. It's going to take time. And a lot of the times, the problems that we experience in churches nowadays, they take time to resolve. It takes understanding. It takes time. It takes counseling. It takes all these things. We've got to be willing to be understanding with people that are hurting. We've got to be willing to be understanding that some people can't get over alcoholism and drug addiction by themselves and they need help from the church. So, you know, I've got an important concept to figure out here. And that would be, if we're God's chosen people, and there's an alcoholic or a drug addict that comes into the church asking for help, don't you think that we as God's chosen people should be understanding and reach out our hand to help those people? Don't you think that we should be willing to pour out grace just like God poured out His grace on us? We've got to be willing to extend that understanding. That hand of help. That hand of love. You know, I picked on Howard before, but I want to pick on him some more. Every time I text him, I get a text back that says, God is love. You know, every time I get that text, it just kind of get this warm fuzzy feeling. Because that's what God is. And we've got to be showing that love to others. So, how do we live like Christ? Number one, we've got to be humble. Number two, we've got to be patient. Number three, we've got to show our understanding. And number four, we've got to extend peace. We've got to extend peace and extend forgiveness. That goes right hand in hand with understanding. We've got to be willing to extend that hand of forgiveness. Because God extended His hand of forgiveness to us when He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us up on that cross. So that means in our relationships that we're struggling with people in our lives and all other aspects where we've been hurt or others have hurt us, we've got to extend that understanding, and we've got to be willing to extend that same forgiveness. But, you know, sometimes church folk are the worst people to extend that forgiveness. We like to hold grudges against people. God didn't hold a grudge against us. Why in the heck should we hold a grudge against others? All right, so I guess I've kind of titled this sermon, How to Be Unified. The first point that I made, we are a chosen people. We have a calling by God. Number two, we are called to be united. We are called to be united. And I'm going to give a few examples of how Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 say that we are united. Because Christians should be a united people. The church should be a united church. We have the same mission. That mission is to grow the kingdom of God. That mission is not to put limitations on God. It's not to determine a dress code. It's not to determine what instruments can be used in church. It's not to determine what version of the Bible is to be preached. Our mission that we should be united on together is one fold. And that mission is to grow the kingdom of God. To grow the souls that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because the day is drawing near where God is going to call you home. The day is drawing near where Jesus will split that eastern sky wide open. And He will take us home. So we have to stand united on what God calls us to do. How are we united? Number one, we are one body. I've already made this point. We are one body. We are the bride of Christ. Again, we are God's body with one mission, growing the kingdom of God. Number two, we are one spirit. We are guided by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that Holy Spirit living and indwelling within you. So why not allow that Holy Spirit to do what's necessary and come out of you? That's something that we as God's children struggle with. A lot of times we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come out of us. We keep Him bottled up like a cork keeps a bottle. But we are united in spirit. Through one the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We are united with one hope. One hope. And this is what keeps me going every day. That vision of one hope. That vision that one day when God calls me home, I'm going home. And it's not a place that I'm going to be depressed. It's not a place where I'm going to have grief. It's not a place where I'm going to be sick. It's going to be a place where I have eternal life, where I can stand at the right hand of my Father. It's where I'm going to be able to see the people that I've lost in my life here upon this earth. It's a place where there's not going to be any sickness. It's going to be a place where there's no sorrow. It's going to be nothing but joy. So we all have one hope. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that one hope. So beyond the one hope, what else do we have? We have one Lord. One Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, for all Christians, that's our Lord and Savior. That's who we worship. That's who gave us eternal life. That's who gave us salvation. He should be our Lord. He should be the ultimate authority. He should be the supreme power. In the church today, He should be the supreme power. He should be our leader. We have one faith, which is our obligation and our commitment to Christ. We have that one faith. We have one baptism. The baptism doesn't earn you salvation. You don't earn salvation. It doesn't give you salvation. The baptism is simply a symbol that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a proclamation that I am a child of God. So we all have that one baptism when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And finally, we have one God. God the Father. One God. Now we live in a society where you see other religions out there that worship many gods. But that's all a myth. It's all a myth, just like Greek mythology. In school, I remember growing up in school and I remember studying Greek mythology and I absolutely hated it because I knew it was a myth. And I know I have one God, and that's God the Father. And God the Father, even though you can't see Him, He's indwelling in you today through the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you today through whatever trial, through whatever tribulation that you're facing in your life. He's there. He is the one Father that will never let you down. He is the one Father that loves you unconditionally. He is the one Father that you can put your faith in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because He will always be there, no matter what. How do you speak to Him? You speak to Him through prayer. You speak to Him through reading Scripture. You speak to Him through other ways. But we all have one God. We as God's children, all Christians, have one God. And that is God the Father. So how do we be unified? Number one, we're a chosen people. Number two, we are called to be united as one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Number three, we must work to create that unity. You see a lot of churches dividing and falling apart. As the point that I made just a little bit ago, the primary reason is because they look to the wrong person for the power and authority. But the second reason that a lot of churches fall apart is because of lack of unity. Folks, we here at Grace Community Church and the church overall should be a body of people that loves each other unconditionally, extending God's grace to everybody. If you're unable or unwilling to extend God's grace to your brothers and your sisters, or to the lost that walk into those doors that need help, that need assistance, how in the world will we ever be united as a church? I'm so sick and tired of churches casting people out the door. We should be the church that God calls us to be. The church that God calls us to be is a church of love. Helping the widows, helping the orphans, helping the sick, helping the poor. But instead, we live in a society where so many churches create separate classes within the church. They don't want certain people in the church. They don't want certain instruments, certain versions of the Bible in the church. It's time again that we put our focus on God. And it's time again that we unite and come together and show the love of God. I would love to see a revival break out amongst this world, amongst this county, amongst this state, amongst this nation, where people get so excited about what God is doing in their lives that they can't hold it in. That cord just pops right open. Because that's the kind of love that we should have for God. That's the kind of love that we should have for each other. That's the kind of love and that's the kind of excitement that we should have in our service to God. We should be excited to do what God's called us to do. We should be excited about fulfilling our calling that God is calling to do in our lives. We should be excited about those things. And we shouldn't want to hold them in. We should not focus on our differences. We should focus on what unites us. Christians should not focus on their differences. we should focus on what unites us and come to a compromise. Not compromising Scripture, not compromising God's Word, not compromising God's teaching. But sometimes, two people got to compromise, don't they? If you're not willing to compromise, don't get married. Part of being in a marriage is having the ability to compromise. We, as God's children, we as the church, we've got to stand united. And we've got to be understanding of each other. Loving each other through life. Loving each other through the problems that we face. Loving each other through what the devil throws out. Loving each other through those addictions. Loving each other through depression. Loving each other through grief. Loving each other through death. Through life. So with that being said, is your focus where it needs to be this morning in your walk with God? Are you right in your relationship with God this morning? Are you right in your relationship with your brothers and your sisters in Christ? Are you right? Have you extended that grace? Have you extended that concept of forgiveness that God extended to us through His grace? I'm going to ask Brian to come up and play a song of invitation. I told somebody just a couple of weeks ago, these times of invitation are the times where I feel most uncomfortable. But the times that I'm most uncomfortable in life is when I can feel God the most. If you're here this morning and you're struggling in a relationship with one of your brothers or sisters here, if you're struggling with addiction, if you're struggling in your relationship with God, now's the time to make it right. We're not guaranteed tomorrow morning. Do you even know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have that gift of hope that I was speaking about a few minutes ago? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have that hope. Because the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, can only be granted when you confess your sins to God and believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes this morning and to bow your heads. I'm going to ask David and I'm going to ask Steve to make their way up here. I want everybody to just keep their eyes closed. Because I know there's people here this morning that are struggling in relationships, that are struggling with addiction, that are struggling as to whether or not they've ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I don't want those people to be embarrassed. But I want you to extend that hand of forgiveness this morning. And if God's calling you to extend that hand of forgiveness, I'm going to give you that time this morning to walk around, to come up to the altar, to do whatever's necessary to make it right this morning. If God's convicting you, come on. Come on up here.
His presence daily there. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, blessed Savior, I surrender to Jesus.
Service a little differently. I'm going to read a verse of scripture that touched me this week. I pray that it does the same for you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. God bless each of you. You're dismissed.